Pray the Lord to keep us all safe and keep us all warm. Amen. I made a comment one time about turning up the heat. I said, I'll go over to the church and throw another log on the fire. Somebody looked at me and said, I didn't know we had a fire. I said, well, that's an expression of turning up the heat. And I said, you never heard that? And they said, no, never heard that. I said, okay. I guess one thing, that shows my age. Two, it shows their ignorance. I didn't think it was that bad of a analogy. I thought everybody knew what that meant. Throw another log on the fire means warm it up. So, but if you need to throw a log on the fire, or if you just need to turn it up, I hope you stay warm, okay? All right. Psalm 19, one verse tonight. If you found Psalm 19, verse 14, I want you to stand under the reading of the Word of God. Psalmist writes as he concludes this psalm, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for these precious folks who have made the extra effort to come out on a cold winter's night to come to the sweet, warm fellowship of your church. We ask, Lord, your time that you've given us here will be a blessing, and a help, and encouragement. We pray that the time we spend around the Word of God will make a difference, Lord, in our world, in our lives. We ask, Lord, that you open our hearts to your Holy Spirit, to the speaking of your words to us. And pray, Lord, that you'll help us to find what we need in these days ahead. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said. You may be seated. Well, we're still in the first part of January, and it's a time when people start thinking about what they'd like to do for the coming year. Maybe it's setting goals. Maybe it's making decisions. And many times over the past week, we've heard folks use the terms about making resolutions. I'm not so sure I make a lot of resolutions. Usually by the time I finish making the resolution, that resolution's gone. But I believe that there's a lot of great value in making resolutions, in making commitments, whether you want to call it setting a goal, whether you want to call it having a vision. But I want to call verse 14 tonight in the text that we just read. And as we begin our year together, I know we're in the second Sunday already. Feels like we've just started. But trust me, you're going to blink and I'll blink and we'll be at the end of December here very shortly. It seems that way. But I want to title this message tonight, The Great Resolution. And if you're looking for something to set a goal, if you're looking for a resolution that does not involve your weight or your money, or it doesn't involve your schedule, pretty much, that's where we all struggle in those areas. I believe the psalmist gives us what I believe is one of the great resolutions of all of Scripture. And if you want something that will help you to hang on, to help you start the year off right, I believe Psalm 19, verse 14 is exactly where we need to be tonight. And I want us to look at this and for the next few moments and write down a couple things that I think will be a help and a blessing to us. You know, someone has said that trying to live for the Lord without staying in His Word is like trying to rewire a house without pulling the main switch. You could have all the nice wiring you want to, but unless you turn the switch on, it's not going to do you any good. And one of the things I think we miss out on is we try to do things ourselves without God's help and without His Word. And I believe that's where we have to start. The psalmist in this psalm, and we're not going to take time to go and read over Psalm 19, but I want to challenge you to do that this week, is to look at this beautiful psalm and how he encourages us in the Word of God. He calls it in verse 7, the law of the Lord. And how it is important for us in our walk with the Lord to make sure we're in the Word of God. And so with that being said, verse 14, I believe, is what I want to call the great resolution. It has two parts, and I want us to look at these two parts tonight. First of all, he says in the first part of this, the first part of our resolution is, let the words of my mouth. And that's the first part. We're going to deal with the words of my mouth. The second part is the meditation of my heart. I believe that there are two things that if we could work on and do better and ask God to give us strength in those areas, it is the areas of our speech and our thoughts. If you'll think about it for just a moment, and you just did, you just thought about it. Those are areas I think we all could do better in. Notice what the psalmist is asking God to help him do. He's asking God to help him with his words and help him with his meditation. That is, I'm going to use the same wording as the word thoughts tonight. You see, the Word of God has been often referred to as God's wordless book in regard to creation. If you look at creation, Warren Wiersbe says that that is God's wordless book, and the Scriptures are God's holy words to us. But God wants to hear our words as sacrifices that please Him. Now, what is it about our words? What is it about our thoughts that the psalmist is asking God to help us with? Now, we all use words. Now, we may not verbally say some things. In our technologically social media age, many times our words are sent out digitally. Text and instant messaging and Facebook posting and tweeting, as it's called. But those are the same as words. They may be spoken verbally. They may be shared digitally. They may be printed on a piece of paper, but they're still words. Our words go a long way in what we do in our lives. Sometimes our words are encouraging. Sometimes they may be discouraging. Sometimes our words are uplifting. Sometimes our words tear down. Sometimes our words are glorifying to God. And yes, sometimes our words are not glorifying to God. So what is it that the psalmist is asking of the words? Notice that he ties in both the words and the meditation of his heart together. And that's important for us to understand in this passage tonight. The words that we speak, Warren Wiersbe says, it begins with the thoughts in our hearts. Jesus said this in Matthew 12, verse 33 through 37. So it's important that before we begin to speak, we ought to think about what we're going to say. Have you ever said something and you said, boy, I wish I hadn't said that? Have you ever used the term, and here's a phrase, you spoke before you thought? Your mouth was in gear before your brain got cranked up, you know, something like that. I think we've all been guilty of that a time or two or three or four or eight or ten or more than that. And it is here that the psalmist, understanding the relationship with our speech and our thoughts, ask of God for help. That's why I call this the great resolution. If there's two areas I believe that if we could work on is our speech and our thoughts, I think it'll go a long way in our relationship with God and our fellowship with other believers. Notice He says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Now, he did not ask God to help him speak more clearly, use better grammar. He did not ask God for his speech to help him bring great fame or fortune. No. He did not even ask that his thoughts be something that could help him think on sweeter things, or help him think about his family, or help him think about his job, or help him to think about his goals or his vision. He didn't say that either. What did he say? He tied in both the thoughts and the words into one simple request. And notice what he asked. That both of these things be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Now, what does it mean for our words to be acceptable, for our thoughts of our hearts to be acceptable to God? The word that's translated acceptable refers to the same word that is used of the priest in the Old Testament as they would come and examine the sacrifices that were brought into the temple. And they would make sure that those sacrifices were without blemish. They would examine the sacrifices to make sure there was nothing wrong, nothing bad, and that the sacrifice was acceptable. You see, if the sacrifice, according to Leviticus chapter 1 and Malachi chapter 1, if the sacrifice was not acceptable, then the worshiper was not accepted by the Lord. So therefore, the psalmist, knowing that important part of the acceptableness, if I could use that term, of the sacrifice, he uses the same word to say, Lord, please make my words, please let my thoughts of my heart be acceptable to you, just as the sacrifices are made acceptable to the priests, so that the worshiper is accepted by God. Lord, all I have to bring to you tonight are my words and my thoughts. That's better than the check you have written or the cash you put in the plate. That is more important than the time or the effort you may do doing anything else. The psalmist says, I want my life, my very words, my very thoughts to be acceptable unto you. So my question to you is this. Are you willing to make that resolution? To ask God to help you that your words would be acceptable to the Lord? But more than that, how about our thoughts of our hearts? Would our thoughts tonight be acceptable to God? If He were to examine our thoughts of our hearts today, let's just take today. I can't really concentrate on more than one thing at a time. We're already in the eighth day of the year. Where have your thoughts been so far in 2017? Where have your words been so far in these first 8 days of the year? They should all be acceptable in the sight of the Lord. You say, preacher, we're all human. We make mistakes. And yes, we do. But don't use that as an excuse for not seeking to be more acceptable to God in your thoughts and in your words. You see, it all goes back to what he says in the first part of this psalm. And again, we don't have time to go through all of this. But it all goes back to being grounded in the Word of God. That's where it starts. When we spend more time thinking about God's Word, then we have more time meditating upon that, it has more effect on our speech and our words. I've often said, and it's often been said before, that the way someone speaks is really evidence of what's in their heart. And that's very true. It's amazing sometimes people who claim to be Christians never talk about spiritual things. I always have a problem with that. Never understood that. They can talk about sports. They can talk about politics. They can talk about culture. They can talk about entertainment. They can't talk about the Lord. They don't have anything to say about the Lord. I always wonder about that. Always concerns me. Maybe it's because we don't spend enough time thinking about it, dwelling on it. If we delight in the Word of God, Warren Wiersbe says this, then we will naturally meditate on it, and then we will express that truth with our lips, and that in itself will help keep us from sin. Our great resolution, which I think would be more important than losing weight and organizing ourselves and doing better in lots of different areas, I believe if we work on these two areas first, I think it'd be easier to work on the other stuff. I really do. I think if we make a great resolution to get more into the Word of God this year, we'll see a difference in our thoughts and in our speech. A lady asked a ship captain one time, as they were navigating through the narrow straits between islands and shallow waters and rocks, she asked the captain if he knew where all the rocks were and if he knew where all the shallow spots were in the sea. He says, "Oh no, ma'am, I don't know where all those things are." But he pointed to the chart in front of his guidance place of his ship. He says, "But I do know where the deep water is. And I seek to keep my ship in the deep water, then I don't have to worry about the rocks. And I don't have to worry about the shallow places." You seek to keep your life in the deep waters of the Word of God, then you won't have to worry so much about all the difficulties and sins and habits that plague you in your life. God's Word is the chart that helps us steer clear of the rocks that can wreck our lives. You know, it's really important to understand that God's Word here is to help us, to guide us, and direct us. One interesting thing about this verse, and I'll close with this. As this psalmist makes this resolution and this request of the Lord, he does not ask for some of the things we typically ask. More finances, better health, better working conditions. All he asks is that his words and his thoughts be acceptable unto God. You know, I've often thought this week as I was preparing this message, as John Phillips in his commentary writes, that one of the great truths that helps us in our lives that we overlook is the fellowship that God desires with us each and every day. And I think we miss meditating on the Lord and we miss talking about the Lord. And that's why we really don't feel things happen like they should in our lives. But there's a part of this verse that if you're not careful, you'll miss. And it is the last phrase of verse 14. In all that we've said so far, in all that we've talked about, these two areas of a resolution, the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart, being acceptable in the sight of the Lord, notice how the psalmist David addresses the Lord at the end of this verse. In fact, I underlined it and kind of had to go back and mark it again, because he refers to the Lord as my strength and my Redeemer. Now that's right there the secret of keeping these resolutions. I don't know if you realize it or not, but you can't do it on your own. I don't know about you, but I've tried. I'm not good enough to do it by myself, and neither are you. That psalmist David realizes he can't do this at all either. David, the man who was referred to as a man after God's own heart, committed terrible public sins. And yet, David still desires, Lord, the words and the thoughts of my life, I want them to be acceptable, but I can't do it, notice this, because you are my strength. You're my Redeemer. You know how you'll be able to keep these resolutions? If you'll always keep before you that you can't do it by yourself, that you need God's help, and He's the one who is your strength. He is the one who's your Redeemer. He's the one that cleanses you of your sin. What I like is what my pastor always said. Pastor J.D. Morris always says this, God knows the most about you, and He loves you anyway. How about that? He knows what I think, and He still loves me. He knows what I've said, and He still loves me. He's my strength. He's my Redeemer. That's the key to this part. Now, there'll be times when we will fail. And if you'll be honest, you'll probably realize that you didn't spend as much time in the Word as you should have. You didn't spend as much time thinking about the Lord as you should have. I think if we spend more time doing that, it'll help us in our words. It'll help us in our thoughts. It'll help us in our walk with God. Make 2017 a year where you can say, Lord, to the best and with your help, I want what I say, I want what even I think about and dwell upon in my life, in my heart. I want it to be acceptable unto you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. The word of God that gives us all that we need by your help to have the strength and have the courage, the ability to think the things we need to think, to say the things we need to say. Father, I know we fall short. We're not all that we should be. But I pray that this year we'll make a great resolution. That everything that we say and everything we think, let it be acceptable in your sight. Father, I pray that all the other things that need to be done, and these are good things, goals and visions, and we need those. We need God. We need to set things before us. And I pray that we will do all of those things. But let us start tonight with our thoughts and our words being acceptable unto you. And done all these other things, Lord, I believe will be much more manageable, be a lot better, and I think we'll have a lot better year, knowing that you're our strength and you're our Redeemer. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. And I pray as we go out from this place tonight, as we travel safely home, and Lord, stay warm and do all the things we need to do in our jobs and our schools this week. Lord, let us, all that we do, be acceptable in your sight. And this I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Would you stand?